All right, church, thank you for checking in. We're in the book of Joshua, chapter 18 today. We're going to finish out chapter 18. And this section starts in verse 11 and runs through the end, through verse 28. And this is a list, it's a description of the boundaries of the territory given to the tribe of Benjamin. So a lot of geographical locations here, cities and places. I want to make mention of two specific places. One is Jerusalem. This is by far the most important city in the Bible. It's just mentioned all through it. But once we're into King David, basically everything that happens in the Bible centers around Jerusalem up until the New Testament in the book of Acts, where they start traveling around the Mediterranean area. But Jerusalem, with King David, becomes the main place. It's where they build the temple. It's where the king resides. It's just the most important city in the Bible by far. And it falls within the tribe of Benjamin. But there's a little bit of controversy here because back in chapter 15, it described Jerusalem as being part of Judah. And I briefly made mention of this at the time, Joshua 15:63, but the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, could not drive out. So the Jebusites dwell with the people of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. And that kind of indicates that Jerusalem is supposed to be part of Judah. And then here it is mentioned in chapter 18 as part of Benjamin. And in reality, Jerusalem is a border city on the north end of Judah, but within the territory of Benjamin. So the boundary line between Judah and Benjamin is just south of Jerusalem. Judah is everything south of Jerusalem, and Benjamin includes Jerusalem, and it's kind of an east-west narrow section, but Jerusalem being on its southern border. It is a city within Benjamin, clearly here as you read Joshua 18. It's also mentioned in Judges chapter 1 as a city of Benjamin. But the confusion lies in as much as it is a border city, followed by additional confusion when David makes Jerusalem the center point, makes it the capital city. Remember, he had to capture it. He sent Joab in and said, "Hey, anybody can find their way in here. This city's going to be tough." Joab found his way in, and they finally captured it. And David then moved the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And then his son Solomon wound up building the temple there. And David established that that's where the temple should go. Solomon eventually built it. And it becomes known as the City of David. Well, David, of course, was from the tribe of Judah. And Judah was the leading tribe in terms of population, in terms of power, strength, leadership. David, his son Solomon, and all the line of the kings that followed David are from the tribe of Judah because they're following David, and David's from Judah. So Judah becomes the leader, and in a certain sense, you could say, takes over Jerusalem because it's the kings of Judah that are leading, reigning in their kingdom from Jerusalem. But Jerusalem technically is within the boundaries of Benjamin, and so that does cause some confusion. And then, of course, when the kingdom split after Solomon, Solomon was the son of David. His son Rehoboam was Solomon's son of the line of David within Judah, and they remain faithful, and they keep Jerusalem as their capital, and they keep Jerusalem as the center of worship and for their palace, for the kings. And then Jeroboam from the northern kingdom, he is part of Ephraim. He is not of the tribe of Judah. He is not a descendant of David or anything. And he established new capitals and everything else, and they based things out of Samaria and Shechem. And because of that, the northern kingdom winds up separating and withdrawing from Jerusalem, leaving Jerusalem in the hands of the line of kings from Judah. And since it's already on the border, generally speaking, Jerusalem is considered to be part of the tribe of Judah by then. And even though it was part of Benjamin, and then Benjamin is separated out and they become part of the northern kingdom, but there were still Benjamites that lived in Jerusalem and seemed to have remained faithful within the southern kingdom of Judah. And then it's New Testament, it's a whole different ballgame then, but we know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says he is from the tribe of Benjamin. And so the tribe remained, but that we're, by that point, we're talking about a whole different time period, a whole different world by then. But if that's why there is confusion. You read Joshua 18 here, verse 28, Zelah, Halef, Jebus, that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, Kiriath Jearim, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the people of Benjamin according to its clans. Jerusalem is within the tribe of Benjamin. There is a tradition. I don't know that it is biblical. It can't be proven biblically, but that they drew the line from Benjamin to Judah, basically right through the Temple Mountain. And so they said that the courtyards of the temple belonged to Judah, but the actual altars of sacrifice and the inner parts of the temple belonged to Benjamin. I don't know. I can't seem to verify that from any ancient sources. But that is a thing that is frequently said by the rabbis and by a lot of Christian commentators as well. So just to clear up the confusion there, Jerusalem is part of Benjamin, but being on the border and being the political movements of these kings and stuff, it is often lumped in with Judah. That's why. Now, other stuff in here. There's another place here called the Valley of Hinnom, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. This is another important place biblically. It is within the tribe of Benjamin, of course. The Valley of Hinnom is a bloody, nasty place. And the word Gehenna, which is sometimes used in the New Testament for hell, the Valley of Gehenna, is the same as the Valley of Hinnom. And that comes from a transliteration from Hebrew to Greek. Sounds like Gehenna. It is a miserable place. Biblically speaking, just biblical history, this is a place that Jeroboam established wicked worship of false gods and false altars, and they are sacrificing evil there. It's where they would make their children, they would burn their firstborns in a fire as a sacrifice. Evil, wicked stuff. The sacrifices to Molech and Chemosh, these false gods that they worshipped. Jeroboam set this up, and a lot of the kings participated in it, and it is wicked, and it happened there, and it becomes a place of fires, of sacrifice fires and evil. King Josiah destroyed it, desecrated all these altars were desecrations in their own selves. He destroyed them. He was a good king, destroyed them and everything else. But this is a valley that you will see periodically mentioned, the Valley of Hinnom, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, or in the New Testament, Gehenna. And it refers to burning and ashes and destruction, and it's a picture of hell. And it is nasty stuff. So when you see that, that's what it's talking about. The same tribe that held Jerusalem also held Gehenna. And there's a real, the contrast between them. Jerusalem, the city of David, supposed to be the holy city where the temple is and where all true worship takes place, also turns out to be the same place, the same tribe, the same neighboring area as Gehenna. And of course, we know that Jerusalem, despite all of the things going in its favor of building the temple there and doing all the right priestly sacrifices and everything else, and it's where they rebuild with Ezra and Nehemiah. And just despite all of that, Jerusalem kills the prophets. Jerusalem is always the place where the prophets are persecuted, where Jeremiah is persecuted, and ultimately where Jesus himself is persecuted, and where the start of persecution against Christians originated was in Jerusalem. And I think it demonstrates the human heart, that the human heart has a sinful nature to it, and the human heart has an image of God ingrained in it. And that line between good and evil resides right within every human heart, right within the tribe of Benjamin, right within the tribe of you and me. We have temptations to wickedness and evil, and we have the spiritual nature the Holy Spirit gives us who's going to win? The Holy Spirit says, if you put to death the deeds of the flesh, Romans 8:13, put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. If by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. But they both live in you. Romans 7 describes that. I know what's right and I do what's wrong. I know what's wrong and I do it anyway. Wretched man that I am. Benjamin is a picture of the human heart. Who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey Christ? Are you going to offer yourself as a slave to righteousness? Or are you going to offer yourself as a slave to wickedness? That's the question. And they cannot get it right. In the Old Testament, they do not get it right. Even though they build the temple, even though David was a man after God's heart, even though they had all this going in their favor, Solomon, the wisest and wealthiest man ever to live, right there built in to their lives, we know that there was incredible righteousness and incredible wickedness built right in. And only God himself can change your human nature. Only God can rebuild and can make heaven and earth one and can reunite them and make all things new. Only Christ can do that. And you turn to him. And no matter how good they build a temple, no matter how many religious rituals you do, no matter how much stuff you do and checkboxes you check off to do good deeds or whatever else, it's right there. The Valley of Gehenna lies right in the same heart as the Temple Mountain lies. And you need Christ. You need to be made new. You need to be made all new. Behold, I make all things new, he says. That's what he wants in your life. So you can study this stuff. There's a lot of other cities and places mentioned here in the tribe of Benjamin, but those two jump out at me as significant places throughout the Bible. God bless you. We'll be in chapter 19 tomorrow. There's several tribes listed there. Praise the Lord. We'll get into that tomorrow. See you then.